Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and I can do that. We're not at the ballet, but when it comes to the music and the mirror, I say to Mother, well, nothing. She'll say, hello, 12, hello, 13, hello, love, but what I did for love is based on my dance, 10, looks, 3. But joining us today are the usual oners who sing.
Oners?
Yeah, oners.
Like one.
I see. Yeah. I think you mean oneters.
including,
what are you talking about?
You ever seen? Have you never seen That Thing You Do?
No.
Wait, really?
I saw just the moment where the guy goes, I quit. And that's like literally the only thing I've ever seen.
That's a Patreon episode, no question.
Gross. Is this as awful as Sing Street? I said it.
No, you didn't. Listen to the episode. He didn't hate it at all.
Continue.
He said he didn't like the songs, and then all of a sudden we read through the songs and he liked them all.
It's just really fun to say I hate things that Brian loves.
Kevin, the tab combination Jaeger.
I knew you were going to do that too. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, that's me getting baggy.
Yeah, jerk.
Kimberly, our Gimme the Ball game master.
Yes.
And unofficial babysitter for the hour. And with us today is someone who you may have seen in the Addams Family musical or season 2 of Smash. You definitely know him from The Amazing Ensemblists and his work for the Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS Association. Let's give a big Broadway-wasted welcome to Friend of the Show.
Friend of the Show.
And a crazy thing that we've never had him on before, Mo Brady.
Mo Brady.
Welcome.
I'm so happy.
As we all take a sip.
Yes.
Yeah, and not just because
let's
of the
just
bourbon.
Do, what are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
What are we drinking?
Well, we acquiesced to Mo's request.
Thank you.
And we're having Manhattans.
With Brooklyn bourbon.
We are. We're drinking Van Brunt Stillhouse bourbon.
Yep.
It is smooth and delicious.
Local from Red Hook.
Yeah. Small batch, as I asked for.
Small batch, so we got a small batch.
It's really good. They also can go to the brewery down there. It's really, really, or the distillery, excuse me.
We should do
It's
that.
Really good. Yeah.
Where?
We're all drinking
Red Hook.
It's in Red Hook, right by the fair. It's a little, yeah, it's between the IKEA and the fairway, no joke.
If you've had a bad day at IKEA,
yeah.
Go to Van Brunt.
Absolutely.
There you go. Or a good day at IKEA. Celebrate Van Brunt.
Have
we
the
didn't get divorced.
Delivered, too. Yeah. You can follow him on social media at Mo_Brady.
That's where I am.
You can obviously follow the Ensemblists at the Ensemblist.
Yeah, do that more though, right? Yeah.
We want to follow that.
Yeah.
One. Forget about him. Follow the Ensemblist.
Yeah, no, don't love me, love my work.
Yeah, yeah. And you can see all the awesome blog posts and all the content they have at theensemblist.com.
So good.
Yeah,
oh, we're so busy.
Yeah.
We will get into all of that. We can do it now. I was about to say, what are you drinking? But you know what? Let's do what have you seen this week?
What have you seen this week or recently?
The Tony Awards.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I can totally talk Tony Awards.
Yeah. Yeah. So we watched the Tonys.
We did.
Yeah.
I was in Hadestown.
You,
I was in New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
No,
I was like, was it an immersive production? Like, on stage? I thought this was Oklahoma. Yeah.
Brian is the understudy for Tim, the really tall understudy.
Ensemble. I wear a trench coat and platform.
What did you think landed? Like, what performance were you like, oh, man.
I think the prom and Beetlejuice did the best job. I think the prom showed its pure energy, especially on TV. Mm-hmm. And I think that Beetlejuice not only showed its tone, the humor, the in-the-moment poking fun, but I think it also showed with the opening of Deo showing that, like, we're still the movie a little bit, but not. I think
they were a great commercial.
I think they both nailed it.
Those were the two that I also agreed with.
Also, Choir Boy made me really mad. I didn't see it.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I mean, I saw it.
Oh,
but I saw
it.
I
was
Oh, I was sitting with my husband on the couch. I was like, that was incredible. And he goes, what happens in the play? And I said, I don't know, but that looked incredible.
Yeah. I was my friend who went to boarding school, and she was just crying. Like, yeah, this
it was
is
super
emotion.
Cool because they used step and that kind of movement to show, like, the frustration and anxiety of these students as the year went on. Mm-hmm. So, like, as people were calling home, the rest of the cast would be on stage doing the step movements, so you could hear, like, the rhythmic kind of getting faster, and it was really cool how they used
good them. On the nominating body to not overlook a play that is closed for choreography.
Yeah.
I mean, it added to the story, and as we saw, like, intrigued people.
Yeah. They also did a really great job this year of highlighting the plays, which I think is always so hard.
Yes. I don't know.
I liked the playwrights talking, mostly because I liked how sweet Jez Butterworth was on his wife.
Well, yes, but also
then he didn't talk about the play. He was like, my wife is great.
He didn't talk about the play, and then...
And his wife's not in the play anymore.
And, like, you're gonna win some awards tonight, Mr. Yeah. Butterworth. Like, we know we're gonna see you again.
Yeah.
So maybe you can thank people during the time that we've specifically allowed for thanking people.
Traditionally, like, the playwright doesn't the producer thank?
Now,
or the playwright
they changed that this year.
Which was super cool. Especially with Boys in the Band.
Yeah, that was a great.
That was
an amazing
speech.
Moment.
We had some great speeches.
I was
going to
say, speeches across the board were really
good.
Yeah, go ahead. Favorite speech.
Oh. Andre DeShields.
Yeah, mine too.
Yes, but
I like Andre DeShields. It was beautiful, but for me, Rachel Chatfield.
Oh,
yeah,
like,
I'm going to go with
her. Her call to arms was like, it wasn't like anti anybody. But it was like a celebration of what she is and what people should be. Yes.
I want to listen to Andre do anything. But Rachel has some structure that Andre does not.
Yes.
And I just thought she used the speech really well. You sort of like, oh, okay, this is a working artist. She's going to thank people. She's going to do all the things. And then she's going to like...
Have a message.
Oh, yeah.
Have a message.
He was the poetry, and she was the, like, nonfiction.
Well,
there's
not enough time to thank everyone for my 73 years on the Earth plane.
I know.
Who says Earth plane in their
20s? What do you say? This magnificent prize.
Yes.
You weren't at my house
for
this.
No.
He said, this is a marvelous prize.
Oh, yes.
And then Jay, my husband, comes over to me during the commercial break, caresses my face, and goes, you are my marvelous prize.
And if Jay won a Tony, he'd take that back immediately.
Yeah. Right. He'd be like, sorry, now this is the marvelous prize.
No, every acceptance speech I made, Jay promised that if he wins an award, I'm thanked last.
Yeah,
why last? Because it's like the
most
important.
You end with the most important part.
Yeah.
Yeah, until he gets cut off right before the audition.
Wouldn't you be worried?
But in an audition space, you always start with your best song because you don't know if they're going to give you a second song.
It's true.
Well, he wouldn't be auditioning.
And Tony's is like auditioning for the world's love.
Right.
Like, if you win, it's like, okay, so why should we love you? Oh, you gave a good speech. Now we love you.
No, but overall, the speeches were spectacular.
Yeah.
The speeches were great. And, like...
How'd you feel about James?
I like him because he's, like, such a theater nerd.
Yeah.
He gets it.
And I didn't... I wasn't...
And he's excited by what is happening.
Yes. And he's done it. He won it, Tony. Like, he understands that night. And how important that night can be, not only for the individual productions, but like the little kids sitting in, you know, Des Moines, Iowa, or even the little kids sitting just outside the bridge in New Jersey.
I was not the hugest fan of the idea of like every time James Corden was speaking, it was kind of like tongue in cheek, making fun of theaters not being as cool as TV and movies.
The energy was a little
my favorite because it's like, yes, Broadway doesn't get like shined on all year round around the country, and yes, TV and movies get more attention because it's just wide stream appeal. But like, this is the one night a year where like, if you turn on a major network, like Broadway is on. Mm-hmm. So let's embrace it. Let's be like, I want to go back to that, and I'm not comparing the two hosts, but when Neil Patrick Harris hosted his multiple times, it was like an unabashedly like loving
you
Broadway.
Can even
but he
go
also
as,
had that TV.
You could even go as far
the
as
numbers
to
com- were similar.
Right. But you could even go as far as to compare James Corden to himself.
Right.
Because that other number was
the Hamilton year was better spirit.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, also, it happened the night
was
after
that
the
year
Pulse.
With the kids.
Oh. Yeah. I also loved the clips of the karaoke during the commercial breaks.
Oh, why didn't we get to see that?
I know.
That was awesome.
So I had friends at dress rehearsal, and they were doing that at dress rehearsal too. that they were saying that, like, last year, like, usually during commercial breaks, the energy dips because everyone gets up and talks to each other, and then they have to, like, shuffle everyone back to their seats.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, we want everyone to stay in their seats and stay really positive. And that, like, at the dress rehearsal, the karaoke, everyone, it was 9 a.m., and people were like, no thanks. And then it seemed really fun.
Yeah, totally. What was it? Ben Platt.
Billy Porter.
And then Anthony Ramos
and Christopher Jackson
did 96,000. They're all in Broadway World. You can see them.
I will.
Super cute.
Or go to theensemblist.com and not see them, but you could post them and people would see them. Get that traffic. No, but
strange plug, but yeah.
Five things you've never known about the karaoke performances at the Tony Awards. As long as it's a list and it has an odd number, I bring it.
Well, what's
an odd number important in listicles?
That's a thing. It's like a thing that people say that when you're making your listicle that it.
If you do 10, people are like, okay, whatever, but like nine is who has to read that?
Yeah, like they left one off.
What got cut?
Yeah. So before we move on, Tom, I want to talk more about the ensemblist and like what it is and what you're trying to do with it. We all know that, but that's more like five things about the ensemblist we didn't know. Any final thoughts on
Tonys?
On the Tonys?
As much as I loved every win, and I think I did love every win.
Sure.
Wouldn't it have been fun to have an upset somewhere?
I know.
So all the upsets to me happened off camera.
It was like Rachel Hawk for Seth. Yes. And you're like, crazy.
Yeah. Or Sergio winning over Warren, who
won the drama desk.
And I mean the choreography is so different. So like understandably, you know, people are voting for certain types of choreography and things. But like technically that was an upset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
from what people expected, yeah,
totally.
I just enjoyed the fact that this year, after having a few years in a row where it was just like one show swept, it was really
nice to see it
spread around a bit and seeing like each show like get to celebrate in their own way. Most of them
would have loved one more Hadestown win for Amber Gray.
Absolutely,
But I didn't see Oklahoma, so I can't.
I didn't see Oklahoma either. Okay. So
she was my favorite part of
She
that
was
production.
My favorite part of Oklahoma, too.
Yeah.
Well, and we always have to remember that, like, not winning a Tony doesn't mean that you're not wonderful. It just has to
wait,
be...
Wait, no, you got nominated.
What?
They nominate four terrible people and one good one.
That's how it works.
I think it's interesting that for the last 3 years we've said, okay, Dear Evan Hansen, small chamber musical. The Band's Visit, small chamber musical. Mm-hmm. Hadestown, small chamber, like we're kind of telling the world that we like small artsy musicals.
Yes.
I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing,
right.
But it's definitely
interesting.
It's what the data shows. Yeah. I mean, like,
that's what we
It's like, what does that mean for the genre? What does that mean for people coming up?
This year is what the highest grossing Broadway year of all time.
Yeah, I mean, that's not just for inflation,
yeah, with inflation
and
things
like
that. But like, Broadway is alive and well, and it was good to see that.
I was just listening to another theater podcast.
Which one?
Did you guys listen to Stagecraft?
First of all, you listen to another theater podcast? This doesn't quench your entire podcast thirst?
I haven't listened to Stagecraft in a long
time. My drink is empty.
Yeah, I need more.
So... do you like how I'm like, my drink is empty and I will do absolutely nothing to fill it?
That Van Brunt is so... Ooh.
Oh, Van Brunt!
Where's the other one?
Gordon Cox's podcast is fantastic. He's a veteran journalist, but like he does a really great job of interviewing people. And this week he interviewed Tom Schumacher. And one of the most interesting things that Tom said was that almost every other form of the arts is in decline. You know, movies are in decline, network television is in decline, album sales are in decline.
Oh.
Theater is one of the only art forms where we keep finding an audience.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't download it.
There's a demand for being
be
in the room where it happens.
The room where it happens?
Yeah, that was a Dear Evan Hansen reference.
I've heard.
Let's talk a little bit about The Ensemblist.
So what?
The Ensemblist?
Never heard of it.
Oh, really? Well, maybe we can make up what it is. Can you talk a little bit about the entire, like, the journey of Ensemblist? Because quite frankly, like, your blog posts that have really kind of started to move towards the forefront are just, like, incredible reads.
Oh, thanks.
But I know that you, and with kind of your guests.
Whoever writes them does a good job.
Yeah, yeah. But
you're in jail, Bob.
So journey-wise, I mean, just talk about what you put into it, what it started as, what it is now, what you're going to continue to be.
Wow.
Four-part question.
Yeah. And your middle name.
James. I'll go in reverse order. Nika Graf Lanzaroni and I, who we worked on the ensembles together for about 4 years, mm-hmm. we both had performed on Broadway and really loved the ensemble performers that we were seeing, mm-hmm. kind of working alongside, and thought that they had such fascinating stories to tell. And this is really kind of at the brink of Instagram, really, when people started sharing their own stories. This wasn't happening at the time.
Sure.
And so we were both like public radio nerds, and we were both interested in these people who were working alongside with, and we were like, let's find a creative project to do both of those things together. And so we created a podcast, and we would create these like 45-minute episodes where we take a theme like swings or replacements, and we would do kind of a deep dive thanks to three experts on that subject.
Your social media, like, podcasts, like those, like, three or four, whatever you that month you did or whatever, mm-hmm. were exceptional to listen to.
Oh, thanks.
They were really interesting.
The rest was crap, but, like, yeah. those three.
Again, the one Aaron article and those four episodes, yeah, that's wonderful.
what we've found as more podcasts have joined mm-hmm. the Broadway family is
Hello.
That, hi, it's nice to see you, is we had an opportunity to really kind of distill our voice and to be champions and supporters of the actors who are in Broadway ensembles.
Sure.
And so we sort of narrowed our focus, but then used multiple media to tell that focus. So now we're not just a podcast, we're also a blog. We also spend a lot of time working on original photography this year and our Instagram
cool.
presence. And so everything we're doing in multiple platforms is really trying to bolster this community, help them feel heard, help them feel valued. I think that it's sort of crazy to think, oh, yeah, they're Broadway actors. They're, like, at the top of their field. But often the real-life political life of being in a theater, mm-hmm. those people don't really feel seen. And so we're trying mm-hmm. to normalize the sharing of their stories and normalize the hearing of these, like, incredible things that they do as part
yeah.
of their jobs. So it has been a journey.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that's the responsibility of any good creator is
yeah.
to sort of go with the times. What
yeah.
worked in 2013 is not going to work in 2019.
Right.
Interestingly, drinking always works. Mm. So we don't need to change.
Yeah, no, you guys figured it out, unfortunately.
Cheers.
Did you see a shift, though, when Instagram, like, really peaked and, like, all of the ensemble members from the original cast of Hamilton have crazy followings? Like, was there a shift in,
definitely.
Like, 2016?
Yes. I think what we saw was the rise of an influencer, and specifically in the theater community, the rise of a micro-influencer. So we're looking at, like, 25,000 to 100,000
right.
followers.
That's the name
micro.
Of the new Star Wars
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, yeah.
The rise of the influencer.
Luke, I shared your retweet.
So the idea that, like...
No,
that was the worst Darth Vader impression also.
It can't
also.
Be true.
I don't know what's happening.
The idea that, like, oh, I could have 20,000 followers and somebody will give me something for free.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
that is something that has changed.
We were talking about the Tonys before, and I know that it's been conversation, at least in the theater community, about a best ensemble award.
Mm-hmm.
Opinions? Thoughts? How do you monitor an award like that? Is it just the people who start it? Do you have replacements involved in that?
No, you would be original companies just like... Every other
Tony
Award.
Yeah.
You know, it just feels like it's not important enough to the right people to me. Someone
yeah.
at the top You know, whether
but you're for it.
I'm 100% for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, all of this, like...
No.
No, let's not celebrate these
that
people.
That would be amazing.
The only place for ensembles is our podcast.
I love that so much.
all of the argument, I'm like, I mean, how would we judge which one was a better ensemble?
You judge the other awards.
You judge the other awards.
That's true.
It's a completely lame argument.
You judge sound design.
Yeah.
You
don't
none
know
of you are
anything.
Sound designers.
Yeah, yeah. You had to choose between Beetlejuice set and Hadestown set. Like, you can choose between Too Darn Hot and, you know, all of a sudden, I can't think of any other ensembles on Broadway.
There's no other ensemble. That's the crazy thing.
I know.
You know, like, damn, what? Hadestown.
Yeah, that's also a show that opened.
yes, you're right, Brian. Good job.
All we need is for someone at the league, someone at the theater wing, someone at the top just needs to be like, you know what, we're going to do this.
Yep.
And they'd flip the switch, and it would happen.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be that hard. It would mean a lot to a lot of people, but it's not going to happen until a person high enough decides that it's going to happen.
Sure, that's super interesting because also, like, I had a thought and I'm drunk and I forgot it. But it was going to be great. You're going to be like,
sounds,
wow.
But the other side of that is that the ensemblist gets to sort of be the bedrock of that story.
Sure.
We get to sort of be the continual presence of like, no, these people are here. They are important. Sometimes we get to sort of come to like the forefront of the theater news, and sometimes we're just in the background.
Yeah.
But the fact that we're there all of the time means that there's a continual hum that these people matter and that the work they do is vital to the art we are creating.
I actually remember my question. Do you think that a Best Ensemble Tony would extend some people's stays in certain shows?
I think what it would do is it would say that for an actor, the pinnacle of your career doesn't have to be leading a show. So for someone like Donna Marie Asbury, who just left Chicago after 20 years in the ensemble, you know, for someone like, you know, like Barrett Martin, who's also in Chicago, he has, I think, 10 Broadway credits. This is the things that my brain knows. It's
I love that we all know different niches of the Broadway world. It's like spectacular.
But for someone like, you know, a Donna or a Barrett, to be able to say, like, you get our industry's highest award.
Yeah.
That would mean a lot to those people.
Yeah.
And it would change the way that we look at success in this industry.
Yes.
Because right now, all we have is... You only get a Tony if you're the leading actor.
Right.
And let's be honest, like, Tim Hughes is doing great work, but he's not even going to be in anybody's conversation about Best Featured Actor.
Correct.
There's too many other great, bigger roles.
Right.
Right.
So you don't...
Literally, King Kong is on Broadway, so, like,
that might
it's
be
a
the
much
only person
bigger
who's
role.
Bigger than... He is a big man. Very tall.
So lots to expand the idea of what
and
success is.
The way the Tonys... tell the whole world what Broadway is, it would tell the world that it is not that the trajectory of a Broadway career is not the same as any other career, and it is not always the dream of an ensemble person to, quote, work their way up to a principal role, which is what everyone thinks. They're like, oh, one day, like, you'll
one
be
day.
There. And you just want to yell, like, it's their Broadway debut, this is my 12th show. Like,
right.
Pouring more ice.
Yeah.
I will say,
yeah.
For many people in the ensemble, being a lead is there.
Well, of course.
And I don't want to take that away from them. Also, people's dreams change. Sometimes you want to be like the best ensemble actor at 25, and then at 35
you're
like...
Or you want to work in Chicago for 20 years because like you're doing some really cool things outside of that, but also making a paycheck to feed mouths.
She put her daughter through college, Donna Marie Asbury. Like, her daughter's like 22 now or so. So she basically like...
Raised her child through Chicago.
She lives in New York, so that's crazy.
I think she lives in New Jersey.
Lives in New Jersey, works in New York, am I right?
Yeah.
But on that note, let's play a game.
Yeah, let's do it.
Wait, you guys play games?
We do.
We do.
We do.
No, no, I know. Oh.
I know, guys.
I was calm.
Can I tell people what's happening?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. We are each being handed a Lights of Broadway show cards package unopened.
But what kind?
It's special, the prom edition?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Wait, don't open them
okay,
yet.
Okay, I got excited.
So this is just a short little game, basically.
Great.
Because I love the prom and I happened to have four of these packs. We're going to go. Have you seen the prom?
Twice.
Great. So have we. Just obsessed. Go around and say the one character from the prom you would most like to take to your prom. Your specific prom. And then if that person is in the pack that you open, you win.
Oh, cool.
That's it.
Oh,
I like this game.
Oh, this is a really simple game.
Next game is very complicated.
Christopher Siebert. I would take him to the prom because I would show up in a tux and he would just show up in a Juilliard sweatshirt. That would be hysterical.
Oh, yeah. What is his name in the show?
But also I would just...
The guy from Talk to the Hand.
That is the best joke on Broadway.
I was peeing in my seat because I watched Two of a Kind
every day.
Oh, yeah. My God. That was so funny that they actually put that in the show.
It was called Two of Kind.
Right.
But
yeah, sure.
Just so we all know.
Talk to the Hand.
That's
the
so
Talk
funny.
To the Hand is also a great name.
Trent
for
Oliver.
Oh, that feels
like
his
would
name.
Totally take Trent Oliver because he would just be my kind of man.
I want to know what Trent Oliver's real name is.
In the world.
Yeah.
I think Trent Oliver is probably his first and middle name, but his last name is probably something.
Like Fafazinski.
Yeah.
Or like Fluffanutter
or something. Yeah.
Is he in your pack?
Oh, am I checking?
Yeah, I said open. Why don't you do? Say who you have.
I have the music team of the prom.
Oh.
I have
I didn't even think they were
Isabel,
an option.
Who's Alyssa. I have him singing Love Thy Neighbor. Does that count?
You have
yes!
the song?
Yes!
You have!
Yeah. You can take the
I have
song
him in the
prom.
Juilliard jacket that I was referencing.
Yes.
So,
all right. So I win.
So I win this game.
Yes.
All right. You're up.
Who would you pick the prom?
Okay. My first thought was Alyssa Green, which I know she's like the drama of not going to the prom, but I'm attracted to like a little bit business, a little bit pleasure.
Yeah,
sure. So maybe
some
like...
Some mullets?
And El Caminos.
Totally your thing.
But the maybe like end of show Alyssa Green. I mean, she looks cute in that purple dress with the updo.
So cute.
You know, like
you just want to dance with her. I get
she,
it.
Yeah.
Your heart
dance.
Is unruly.
She will. She gives a mean kiss at the end of that show.
Yeah.
You don't know
that's
what's
true.
Going on in that parking lot.
No.
Afterwards.
I loved all
her
the people for the
knee swivel is spectacular in that final
her
number.
Knees
because they do that quick. I don't. I'm not a dancer. They do that like quick turn to each other, and then the knees like swivel.
Oh,
that one. You all know.
Right. I'm giving. Okay.
All right. Let's see the list.
No one. No one. Green.
Bueller.
Bueller.
Bueller. Okay. Wait. Okay. This one is just the show.
Great.
So she's part of the show.
It has lyrics to "Tonight Belongs to Us" and "Unruly Heart."
Nice.
Kaitlyn Kinnunen.
Great card.
And now we all know how to say her name.
With
short hair.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Kaitlyn and I are like family friends.
Wait. Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Aww. She's from. After I graduated from college, I moved back to Seattle, which is where I'm from. My health helped run a youth theater program.
Sure.
And Kaitlyn was one of the students there. And so,
oh,
what?
And so was her sister, Julia.
And so you molded her into the Tony nominee she is today?
Unclear. I will say that I've spent a good amount of time with Kaitlyn and her family, and she's a beautiful soul. And so to watch her be embraced by the community is fantastic.
Sure.
Christopher Siebert, I got the real card.
You did.
I got the real Christopher Siebert as turn all
over. So you got my man and your woman.
I got an Isabel McCalla as Alyssa Green card.
Oh, you also got a reflector card.
A reflector card. Oh,
it's a crown.
Wait, it's a crown on the other side.
It's time to build a prom. Can we talk? Okay, my favorite moment of the Tonys was
the medley.
Created. Key change from Tonight Belongs to Us into
oh,
build a
yeah,
prom.
Yes, yes.
Man, I was like...
Because I was like, well, they're doing this song, and
that
it makes me anxious because
well
I know what happens.
Tony
yeah.
Thank you,
situation.
Chad and Matt.
I know, right?
Man,
good so
work.
Good.
All right. No question, I'm bringing Beth Level to my prom.
Oh, yeah,
I'm taking Dee Dee Allen.
I'm taking Dee Dee Allen to my prom because, one, who doesn't want the drowsy chaperone at their prom?
Yeah,
right?
That feels
two,
fun.
Like, She would just like, you've seen every entrance.
Drowsy Prom Chaperone is like the biggest mashup of musical everyone's seen.
Every entrance she has had in that show was spectacular. She takes that thing by that gymnasium by storm.
Oh yeah.
And so I want her by my side and be like, oh, is that your family member? And I'll be like, no, this is my date.
Yes.
Are we going as current age selves or like 18-year-old selves?
18-year-old selves, definitely.
And them
all. Oh, I totally would have gone. I would totally would have gone with Alyssa Green. Yeah. Okay. This still fits.
All right. Still rings true, Izzy. Love you. Love you, Dad.
I got her singing It's Not About Me.
Oh, yeah. That's the moment.
I think that counts. But I also got her as a character. As a card.
No, it's 2 points.
It's a twofer.
Damn.
Oh, I got the ensemble of the prom.
Oh.
It's weird. This card says theensemblist.com of the prom.
What? What's
is it really?
At, no.
Okay.
Cannot believe that no one else wanted to take Angie Shore to prom.
Oh, good. This is a good show for prom. Okay.
Yes.
Because listen, she would teach you how to dance if you felt a little self-conscious in your dress, because like maybe someone else was wearing the same dress as you at your prom, like my prom, and then
that
you
happened.
Had to go out-zazz her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Which I did anyway. But yeah. I also have fully the prom.
Mm-hmm.
The design team.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, that's cool.
The music team.
You did.
Oh, I like
you
that
a
one.
Lot of BTS.
It's not about me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And I don't have my date, but I do have a
reflector card. That is classic.
That's really cool. These cards are really cool.
I just want to dance with you on the back. And they're dancing together if you flip the card.
Squeaks always says great work with Lights Bravo Show cards, but these like special prom edition ones are really awesome.
I love the special editions, like the ensemblist edition in every year.
Oh, yeah.
The fact
I have a bunch of them.
The fact that Squiggs does that for us, I think is... It's really great. It's so cool. Every year we do these awards called the Ensemblist Awards, which last year's winners pick next year's winners.
That's so cute.
And so it's sort of like the community celebrating themselves. And all we do is we ask for last year's winners to pick someone who they admire in the community. So they're not people that I would necessarily even know or like would have, like are at the forefront of my mind, but they're... to see this sort of like torch being passed from year to year is really beautiful.
That's awesome.
Well, that's you can check that out at theensemblist.com.
Oh, dot gov. Mm. And so that
.ca.
Yeah, exactly. That game was actually brought to you by Gold Star.
It was.
You can go to goldstar.com /broadwasted. Oh, definitely get tickets for the prom.
Definitely. Go to the prom, guys.
Go to the prom, guys. Yeah. Do it.
They just want
to
dance with
you.
Even
if you didn't go to your prom, go to the Broadway prom.
Yeah.
Everyone had to dress up?
I would go to the prom.
No, I kind of
like a real prom performance.
Prom night.
Like a special night.
Like a prom night where we all dressed up and then we went to like... Haswell Green and like
oh my
had
God,
a dance
punch
afterwards.
And everything and spiked punch and
that will handle the group sales.
Yeah, it's fine. I'll take care of it.
But again,
Dory, are you listening?
Gold
Dory, can you hear me?
goldstar.com/broadwasted. You can also get tickets to not just Broadway, but tours, concerts, comedy, dance across the entire country. So go to goldstar.com/broadwasted. Check out everything there. We've gotten tickets from there. We actually went to, this is a long time ago now, but Kevin and I did haunted house tickets through that.
We did.
We did a botanical gardens tour this past.
Really love a haunted house in June.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite. But we bought botanical garden tickets for this summer.
We did.
It's going to be super fun. And you can go to goldstar.com/broadwasted. So check it out.
Yeah.
As a fellow podcaster, I just want to say, like, these things actually matter. Like, it would really, it really means a lot to the people creating podcasts if you actually go to this link. Like,
true.
If you are thinking about buying tickets to, like, anything, and Gold Star, they have tickets all over the country?
Yeah.
Like, just do it, guys.
Just see what's out there.
Come on. Just, like, what you're already on your phone. Just, like... Safari, open, goldstar.com.
I'm a Google Chrome man myself.
Oh, my God.
What?
You're
don't
so
be
extra.
Picky.
I know. On your phone?
Let them use our link.
Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shana Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
But we have some more questions for you.
I love talking about me.
Yeah. What's your favorite musical?
Hairspray.
Why?
I just think Hairspray is just like a well-made machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Do you have a favorite ensemble track in a show?
That's a good question.
I can only answer it to certain people.
Honestly, like, I feel like I have favorite, because me and Jay play a game called Spot the Dance Captain, which isn't really about Spot the Dance Captain. It's just like who's working
really
the hardest.
Cute
that
game.
Is a cute
and
game.
And when we saw the Violet Revival, there was like this 13-year-old girl.
Oh, she was great.
That was the understudy clearly for Young Violet, and we were like, she's working the hardest.
She's working hardest in the Tony performance as well. She's working.
Yes!
If you go back and look at that Tony performance, she's working harder than anyone.
Uh-huh. She's on her way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, ever to play that game?
I'm gonna.
She has an axe standing by, like, just in case she has to go on.
Jesus.
All right.
So I'm working on a lot of like lists for 2020, and we're getting towards the end of the decade. And I'm actually working on like a lot of.
I was like, we have 6 more months. Please stop.
But I'm working on a lot of like best ensemble roles of the last decade, like best ensemble bangers of the last decade. So I've actually been thinking about this a lot. I'm not sure if it's the best, but it's the first one that came to my mind.
Okay.
And it's Spot Conlon from Newsies.
Oh.
Yes.
Spot Conlon is the ensemble track in Newsies that was originated by Tommy Bracco. He also plays it in the filmed...
The Netflix-y.
The Netflix-y version. Netflix-y. And
yeah, that's what it is.
And it's like the thing that comes out... Is like the guy who comes out in Act Two.
Yeah,
and like
theater.
Sort of,
Brooklyn is here.
Yeah.
He's the best part of the movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not Tommy Bracco, but Spot Conlon.
Spot Conlon.
Yeah.
Right. No, he was in the movie. It was crazy.
He hasn't aged in years.
Yeah.
That does feel very Tommy Bracco, though. Does
yeah,
it?
Right.
The fact that like maybe Tommy Bracco's 50 and he's been tricking us.
It's like the movie Orphan. Was it Orphan? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Where the little girl's actually like an old woman.
Oh,
yeah.
I did see
spoiler
that.
I don't know what that means in that. Spoiler.
No, that's
the actual spoiler.
People are going to be so mad at us.
Speaking of orphans.
Oh, yeah.
Great. I love an ensemble role where they're like
bringing it back.
Incredibly specific and present.
Yeah.
They're part of the team. You know exactly who they are. Tommy brought such a great point of view to that role. I saw it on tour as well. And Jeff Heimbrock, do you know, guys know who he is?
I know
that
name.
He's currently in Wicked. He made his debut in Mormon. Tommy, like, walked on the stage and commanded it. You know exactly who he was. He had a point of view. He changed the plot of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he seamlessly, like, danced his friggin' ass off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my first.
He also does brilliant ensemble work when he was
in
Pretty Woman. His character was amazing.
Yeah.
He's like a bellboy, but, like, he went shopping with her, and I was here for it.
Julio?
Yes.
Giulio?
Yes.
Julio Giulio? Was he in
I love
singer?
The Wedding Singer.
Me too.
I just want to throw
so
that out.
We are very big Wedding Singer fans here.
Oh, yeah.
I saw The Invited Dress in Seattle at the Fifth Avenue
Theater. Did you take Caitlin with you?
No, I should have. I sat in the front row. It was super fun. The set broke down. So great. Such a great show.
Wait, you saw that in Seattle. Where did you see, when you saw Newsies on tour, where did you see that?
Philadelphia.
Oh, cool. Do you want to go somewhere else?
Oh, yeah. Tuesdays in the corner with Kevin.
It's Kevin's Corner.
Welcome to Kevin's Corner, where I have 3 highly researched questions that I spent time on Wikipedia. And they today's the name game. So
it sounded like separate things. Like, these are very involved questions.
I also was on Wikipedia. So this is the name game. So they all start with your name, and then they go into weird places from there. So you ready?
No.
Okay. Question one. Your name is Mo. Just like the single Mo Money, Mo Problems by the Notorious B.I.G. from his album Life After Death. That was Biggie's second posthumous number one single following Hypnotize. Hypnotized and Hysterical, Hairstylist Wanted, is a 2002 French musical comedy drama film about the crossing paths of three lost young women, one of which wants her daughter back, one who wants her soul back, and one who wants her cat back. That's what it says.
Her soul?
I need to see this.
Yes.
Wait, am I supposed to answer these
things?
No. Oh, my God. Okay.
The Cat Came Back is a comic song written by Harry S. Miller. Miller time is the time of day that you should be imbibing a beer by the Miller Brewing Company, made popular in their successful ad campaign. So my question is, what are some of your favorite ad campaigns or jingles from when you were growing up?
The first one I think of is, there was like a kids modeling company in the Northwest, at least, called Barbizon. Does this sound familiar to anyone?
No.
Oh, it was like... I don't know, but it was like...
What was the commercial?
It was very glamour shots. Like, imagine, like, if your parents were so rich, then not only you're going to get glamour shots, but then you're going to get, like, a full, like, print spread. Yeah, exactly. It was an ad for that.
And you wanted that?
No, but my sister and I would, like, sing the song. It was like, bum, bum, Barbizon, trained to be a model. Or just look like one.
That is wonderful.
Is so good. Amazing.
Yeah.
I like Stanley Steamer. Did you? Stanley Steamer
makes park bits cleaner.
Oh, yeah. That was always a good one.
Such a good song. You know, now.
Cars for Kids.
Oh,
that's
I
current.
Hate it, but I did.
Oh, no, I told her to put her tag inside of her scarf.
No, but the Cars for Kids commercial has been on the radio forever. I used to listen to it, like, when driving to school, my dad would drive us. Like, it would be a commercial on radio, yeah.
It's a rite of passage to get, like, New York commercials. Yeah, like, someone who moves to the city and you get New York one or
Selena Barnes, injury attorneys.
The Grand Poster Talk.
Oh, the Grand Prospect Hall. Let all your dreams come true. I saw a show there once, and I was like, I'm here. My dreams have come true.
I had Ricky Ubeda on my podcast, and he was talking about Fosse Verdon, and he filmed his scene in Fosse Verdon at the Grand Prospect Hall. And he was like, everyone kept saying, we make your dreams come true. And I didn't know what it meant. And I was like, because you don't have New York blood.
But do you remember Mount Airy Lodge? All you have to bring is your love of everything.
Oh, 666.
Remember, it's Carmel Limo.
Carmel Limo.
Yeah. But there's the one white guy.
I used them when I first moved here.
He's snapping on he's snapping on the wrong beat. And you're like, who missed this? It's like a scarf tag.
All right, question two. Your name is Mo.
Correct.
Just like the American rapper, singer, and music producer, Mo B. Dick, who is founding member of the production team The Medicine Men. The Medicine Men is also the title of the ninth episode of the third series of the 1960s cult British spy-fi television series.
Spy-fi?
The Avengers. It said spy-fi on Wikipedia.
Oh, okay.
Steed and Kathy investigate a conspiracy to flood the market with medicines that are counterfeit. Counterfeit Cat is a British-Canadian animated television series produced by Wild Seed Kids for Teletoon and Disney XD that follows the adventures of and friendship of Max, a lazy house cat, and Gark, an alien who disguises himself as a purple knitted cat. Cat Deely is an English television presenter, actress, singer, and model who has hosted My Fave, So You Think You Can Dance, since 2006. So my question is, what reality show do you think you could totally win? And what reality show do you think each member of the Broadwasted crew would be great on?
Oh,
God.
I'd like to let you know how much I bake. Go.
Oh, Great British. Isn't Great British Bake Off the best
show on television?
I also want to mention that people say I have ninja skills. I don't.
Don't steal my show, Brian. That's my favorite show of all time.
We just watched the new $100,000 pyramid last night.
Sure. Uh-huh.
And I was like, these are dumb questions. I could win this. Like,
okay, so you could win that.
I could win that. Great British Bake Off, American Ninja Warrior.
Absolutely.
And
I'm looking
the Joe Schmo
to
show.
No, I mean, you're making drinks, so I'm going to go with Survivor. I wish I could win Survivor. I would lose Survivor.
I would lose Survivor.
I would survive by making drinks.
No, you're like...
You're friends with her. You're taking care of people.
You're being industrious.
You're dexterous.
You're being nice. You like know how to do the technical stuff. You know...
Yeah, he would survive.
Broadway ensemblist and my former Addams Family cast member... Reed Kelly was on Survivor.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They got pretty far.
All right. Question three. Your name is Mo.
It still is.
Just like Mo Gaffney, the American actress, comedian, writer, and activist who has written and starred in two off-Broadway shows, The Kathy and Mo Show Parallel Lives and The Kathy and Mo Show The Dark Side with her friend Kathy and Jimmy. Jimmy Dugan is a fictional manager of the Rockford Peaches in the movie A League of Their Own, where he pees for an incredibly long time while being timed by Madonna. When I was a little kid, my brother and dad were always wanting me to go out and play catch with them, and I would only agree to do so if I could do Madonna catches, which is where I pretended to be Madonna from the movie and acted feminine and graceful and oh so gay. So my question is, if you could live your life as one fictional character for a day, who would you choose and why?
Interesting. That's a good one, Kevin.
It's back on.
Baroda gave me birth. Friendliest place on earth. Pay us a visit and see.
Okay, this is something I've been thinking about a lot recently. Is actually like how Garrett Haw is like nailing the tenor one part in so much of Newsies, and I've been wanting to figure out how to give him a shout out. So the fact that
there you go,
there you go, Garrett, you're doing great work, or he did great work in 2012.
We're still listening to your great work.
Yeah, he's in the West Side Story movie now.
Yeah,
he's not. Like,
yeah, he's fine. He's
yeah, he's fine. No, what's the mean guy from, what's the Leonardo DiCaprio, I hate myself for saying this, what's the Leonardo DiCaprio character from The Great Gatsby? Gatsby.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to live in a big, fancy house and have, like, great parties.
The
with,
day
like,
before he shows up in the pool.
Yeah.
You know how that ends, right? Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, I read it in high school.
And by read in high school, I mean I took the test on it.
Yeah, I read the Cliff Notes. Do people still use Cliff Notes?
I think
have
they
no
just,
idea.
I think
they're online.
They
Spark Notes, right?
Spark Notes is like the online version.
College, right? Yeah. But like,
I mean, but now you could probably just read Wikipedia.
Oh, sure. You just read Wikipedia and be like, that's what happens.
Or you just Google like someone else's paper, and I'm sure it comes out.
But don't they have like smart technology about like running your paper?
Oh, it's easier to check plagiarism.
A test, fine, but maybe not. A whole essay.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so you would be Great Gatsby.
Wait, it was a day for a day?
For a day, yeah.
Yeah, I want to be friggin' rich.
You want to be that gif where he's cheersing.
Cheers,
yeah. Behind him.
I like that because when I wrote this question, I was thinking that I would want to be Annie on the day where she gets to the house just to see all those people doing those ridiculous lifts and jumps.
Just to dance with Anne Rankin?
Yes.
Just the gardener.
That's all I wanted. Was
the gardener climbing up
to Ivy. Yes. So ridiculous.
Oh my God.
We got it.
Drake the butler.
Yeah.
Another great ensemble role.
So good.
Yeah, and every once in a while, just like Anne Rankin just strikes the pose, and I'm just like,
cheers
yes.
to that. That was great.
We got Annie. We got Annie, folks.
So can I just ask real quick how you got involved with Broadway Cares?
Yes.
No, next question.
No. Okay, so...
This will be a great segue.
Awesome. I was in the Addams Family on Broadway.
You were.
And...
You were on... Were you in the ensemble and understudying?
Yeah, I was in the ensemble and I covered the role of Lucas, Wednesday's boyfriend.
Yeah.
And
well, who's Wesley Taylor, right?
Wesley Taylor, yes.
I didn't hear you for a minute and I said, Wesley's boyfriend?
That's what I heard too.
Yeah, like,
he covered Isaac in high school.
Fiance's now. Congratulations, Wes and Isaac. Yay. So there are a few things in your life where like something changes so quickly, right? Like you reach a goal in an instance. You know, you get married, you have a child, you make your Broadway debut, and I was like,
did you do it in that order? Oh, okay.
Debut, married, child. So I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna get to do this again. I've always wanted to do it. I'm gonna do friggin' everything that's involved with being on Broadway. I want to soak up every experience I can. And so much of those experiences are
Broadway Cares.
Broadway Flea Market, Broadway Bears, Easter Bonnet. Like, so many of them are actually events that are produced by our organization. And so I just got to know Broadway Cares through kind of volunteering as an actor. And then my show closed, and I was like, okay, well, I guess I can spend all my time auditioning and stressing about getting another job, or I can, like, figure out another thing to spend my time on. And so I had a degree in theater marketing. I'd worked in marketing departments of regional theaters in the background.
Well, you had an actual degree in theater marketing?
I had a degree in theater. My thesis was in theater marketing.
No, that's interesting. Where'd you go to school?
Whitman College. It's a very small liberal arts college in Washington State. And I wrote a thesis, and it was about guerrilla marketing tactics. Do you remember when we used to call, like...
So you worked on King
Kong? Social media guerrilla.
Yeah. So it was sort of, like, about, yes, like, product placement and how you, like, use... I mean, we didn't even have social media back then, but it was, like, how you sort of, like, spread the word organically about shows.
Cool.
And so I wrote a cold email to my now boss, and it was like, hey, we met... while I was taking off
What did your email sound like?
Hey.
Oh, okay.
We met while I was taking off my clothes in Broadway Bears. I want to volunteer for you. Can I volunteer for you this summer? And he was like, can you come in tomorrow? And so I volunteered initially. And I was like 30 years old. I was volunteering. I was writing press releases. And the sort of the last project I did before I went off to do a regional gig of Next to Normal was... I edited the Broadway Bears 2012 teaser, and they liked it, and they said, hey, we've got a job opening up. Do you want to apply? And I was like, no, I'm an actor. I do acting things. And then I thought more about it, and I was like, I'm just going to let the universe decide. I'm going to put my best foot forward, and I don't have to do this for the rest of my life. I can do this for 6 months and quit. But I'm gonna see if this is a door that opens.
Sure.
And so I applied, and
but you still went on the Next to Normal tour?
I did. Yeah. I did. Today is my 8-year anniversary, it probably cares.
Really?
So
happy anniversary.
Thanks.
Happy
anniversary. I forgot to tell that. I should have. They asked me to apply. I went through the process. They offered me the position. I was like, I'm gonna try this. And it ended up being exactly the right fit. I came from the regional theater world. I mean, you guys probably know this feeling. New York is such a place where there are people who do everything really well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everyone is at the top of their game, which is a thrilling place to be.
Right. Yeah.
But for some of us, we like to have our hand in multiple pots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We like to do this and that. And that actually was what I had loved about being an actor, was not just being an actor. I loved being a choreographer and a teacher and all these other things. I spent 8 years prior to moving to New York as a full-time actor in Seattle.
Sure. Teaching future Tony nominees.
Yeah, exactly. Caitlin.
Yeah.
And I was also doing all these other things. And when I got to New York, I was like, I don't want to just act in contemporary musicals where I sort of, you know, ping through my nose, this one thing that I do super well.
Right.
I want to do a lot of stuff.
Sure.
And so Broadway Cares, the job offer was like a door into being that multifaceted human. And so that's why I've never looked back. I choose my path.
Hmm.
That's the path I want.
That's awesome.
And it's not necessarily the path that I wanted in 2012 or 2013 or 2014. But now I can look back and go, that was the right choice. To be able to sit back and have a artistic home where I get to create and I get to support and I get to bolster people and I get to share this mission of, like, theater is magic. And it is really special when we all sit in a room together and tell a story. And it's incredibly special when we all look each other in the eye and we say, we're going to do something to help people.
Yeah.
That is, it's beautiful.
Cheers.
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 Well, on that note, let's play a game.
Let's do it.
We're going to play a game called the Broadway Care Bears.
Oh,
okay.
Care Bears there.
Yes. So, Belly's out, everyone.
I got that dad bod going, baby.
So everyone just picked sort of a chunk of show cards from my scenery bag here. So this is your hand for this game.
You want us to have seven actors. That
ideally, I can have seven-ish actors.
We can make this happen for you.
You know, we know who they are.
I happen to have seven actors and friends.
Great. So next to my scenery bag, we have a pile of slips of paper. Mm-hmm. These are the original 10 Care Bear names.
Oh, interesting.
So what you're going to have to do is when it is your turn, you will pick a Care Bear name from the pile, and we will all pick someone from our hand to be that Broadway Care Bear.
And I have to choose.
And you have to choose
which one most.
So it's apples to apples, but Care Bears.
Yes. This is spectacular.
Oh, this is a good game.
Okay, Brian, I'll you go first.
So I read the bear name.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I have Wish Bear. Wish Bear. Is it Christopher Fitzgerald?
Oh.
Is it newly anointed Tony winner Celia Keenan-Bolger?
Oh. Mm.
Or is it the magical Ithaca grad Carrie Butler?
Yeah, who is it?
Oh.
Who's Wish Bear?
That is a good set
these
of Wish Bears.
Really, these are too good. I'm going to go only because you just won the Tony with Celia Keenan-Bolger.
You gotta play your good cards first.
Yeah, that's true. Right
just
with it.
Now you can pick a replacement from the deck.
Okay. The audition song you can really call in first.
Mo, your turn.
Oh, Mo.
Oh.
I am the game master. Oh, I will decide whose turn it is.
Yeah, Kevin.
I'm sorry.
Tenderheart Bear.
Oh.
Donna Lynn Champlin. Not necessarily for her Broadway work, but man, we got a. Crazy Ex Girlfriend is not a non. Donna McKechnie.
Two Donnas.
Friend of the show.
Robert Sean Leonard. Tenderheart? I go Dead Poets Society.
Yeah.
I'm going Donna.
Yay!
Yay.
I'll take her.
Good one. Kevin?
Okay. I have Grumpy Bear.
This is so good.
Who's Grumpy Bear?
Who's a grumpy grump?
First choice is David Hyde Pierce.
Oh. Good choice. That was a good one.
Kevin Chamberlain is also a good choice.
Wow.
But my winner for Grumpy Bear is not a rare card, Michael Bennett.
Yay!
I pretended that David Hyde Pierce wasn't mine, so you would choose it.
Oh, yeah. I know you, bro.
Okay, my turn.
I would have chosen David Hyde Pierce.
Thanks, man.
For that Tony Award performance.
I know. He depended his pocket.
Thank you, sir.
We'll anyway, I have the Cheer Bear.
Oh, the Cheer Bear. If I hadn't already had won with Celia.
I would have chosen
Celia. Yeah.
Max von Essen.
Adorable.
Is he cheerful?
Uncut.
I suppose. Annalie Ashford.
Mm.
Or Christine
Everett. Look at you. Look at Kevin trying to be like, oh, no.
Whoever put that in is a good person.
Christine Ebersole.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Also very cheerful, but have we all watched the Lincoln Center performance? So,
no.
Annalie Ashford.
Yay.
Annalie Ashford.
Or just listen to her New Year's Eve.
That is for guests only, Kevin.
It is what, like, my best. I love it. Anyway.
What was the name of the game again? That was so fun.
That was the Broadway Care Bears.
Yes. Yes.
Game.
Well, that actually brings us to the end of our episode.
Oh, you want to try that again?
That was the end of our episode. No. Well, that brings us to the end of our episode.
Yeah, it does.
Mo, this was too much fun, as you can hear in my voice.
Do you want some more?
No, I'm good. I already poured it. Before we end, what was your first Broadway show?
Annie Get Your Gun, 1999.
Ooh.
With?
Bernadette Peters.
Oh.
Yeah, of course.
But thank you for joining us. Don't forget, go to theensemblist.com. Follow them at theensemblist. Follow Mo at Mo_Brady.
But after you've done theensemblist, follow.
Yeah, that's
I'm actually
first.
Private. On
I
Instagram.
Was
going
to say, I realized that today, and then I was very sad that I didn't already follow you.
No, you can follow me. Okay. That's fine.
Always feel free to donate to Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS.
You guys, and especially people who listen to your podcast, like, our next big event is going to be Broadway Flea Market, which is coming up.
Follow us at Broadwasted on Instagram, Twitter. You can join our Facebook group.
It's private, so we can say stuff.
but it's super fun.
It is private. The group voted to have it private.
Be a patron.
So I went with it.
Be a patron on our Patreon. We'll be obviously doing That Thing You Do, I guess, now.
Oh, yeah, apparently.
No, we have to watch that thing
you do. Oh, it's so good. Like a record?
It's a cute,
like a record?
Is it as bad as Sing Street?
I've never seen Sing Street.
Sing Street is wonderful. So good. And
listen,
Kevin's
pay
a
$5, you'll get Kevin's really hot takes on everything.
And they're hot, let me tell you.
But we end every episode with a quote.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Today's quote is, "Let me entertain you. Let me make you smile. Let me do a few tricks, some old and then some new tricks. I'm very versatile."
And that is Brian's grinder profile.
But we want to thank our friends at Gold Star. Remember, go to goldstar.com/broadwasted for concerts, comedy, dance. And then obviously go see the prom Broadway shows here in New York. But Mo, thank you so much for joining us.
Guys, do we live here now? I feel like we live in this recording studio.
But as we end every episode, we raise a glass and we sing
Zoo-doo-wop-bum. Cheers.
Thank you for hanging.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.